Hello, welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Dan Black, a.k.a. Dunsky Blackamora, a.k.a. Donnie Kayfabe, a.k.a. Donnie Capri from the time I went to Italy, a.k.a. Don Strowman, the Patreon Don, a.k.a. the modern day goof. Coming at you like Scott Bakula. Baby, baby, we're taking a quantum leap. Gabba, gabba wee, yeah, yeah. The girl, she's mine. And damn, she's fine. What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all our spicy, spicy wrestling reactions. I'm sitting across for the fourth week in a row, the king of the custom intro that we don't have today, Mr. Jason Shabira. What up?
You're sitting across from the boss.
Yeah, man. Hey, remember, if you want to get your opinion on the show, it's possible. All you got to do is leave us a voicemail at 316-530-2429-316-530-2429. Blow my mind. Gabba, gabba, wee. Yeah, okay.
I just wanted to clarify. I said that you're sitting across from the boss. I'm not the legit boss. I'm the illegitimate boss.
You're right. You're the illegitimate. Meaning what? Like,
meaning
boss doesn't really show up and you're like acting boss?
It's kind of like what I actually do in my real life. It's like I'm a lot of people's boss, but I don't really show up or give a shit.
Right,
so
right.
I'm an illegitimate boss.
Illegitimate boss, the first thing that came into my head for what that is like, is his name Rick from Walking Dead?
I hope his name is Rick. I mean, I've never seen an episode of Walking Dead.
I think his name's
wrestling.
Rick Grimes, but Rick, I might be making that up.
Rick Grimes is such an 80s bully name. That's not a real person's name.
Yeah, look it up. Rick Grimes,
all right,
baby.
I'll Google Rick Grimes. I hope to God there's a character named Rick Grimes, but I hope he's in Ski School too.
Oh, I promise. This is a professional wrestling podcast. Hey, yo, check out our Patreon. If you're a dig this show, remember, just like Bernie Sanders, we are, or whatever your Republican counter, similarity to, oh man, I fucked up again.
Hey man, you're tired. It's hot. It's hot here in New York City.
It is so hot. Every time I say Bernie Sanders, I worry someone's going to be like, you said Bernie Sanders, turn it off. No, well, whatever your Jill Stein's, whatever your grassroots candidate, that's what we are, okay? We operate on donations. If you dig this show, don't take it for granted. Support it. Hey, you can check us out at patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Right now, we got a bunch of bonus episodes on there. You can get the last bonus episodes, which is Newman talking about NXT, which you people have been clamoring for. We got a full-on NXT episode. You can listen to our review of Ready to Rumble from 2000, the worst movie maybe ever made.
Possibly ever, yeah. It's
and
so bad.
People say our funniest episode, so the
really?
Feedback on that is very high. But also, hey, Jabroniax, just want to say one thank you to everyone before we get into it all and we plug the live show. This month, every episode has been our most listened to episode progressively, going up and up and up, and the show is growing, and I'm just thank you for listening, and thank you for spreading the word. If you like the show, I understand you can, not everyone can join the Patreon, not everyone has extra funds floating around, but what you can do is just tell another person about the show. Word of mouth is very powerful, and that's a great way to show the show that you supported. But also, I'm saying thank you because I believe people are doing that because the show is growing and it's showing. And that is a great segue into Shebs.
Yeah.
We got a show coming up, right?
We do got a show coming up.
The Comedians of Wrestling Summer Slamtacular here in New York City. Saturday, August 18th. At midnight, after NXT TakeOver, you're at TakeOver, you're watching Ciampa Gargano 3, your mind is fucking blown, and you're going to have, I mean, think of the adrenaline post-match after that.
How are you
going to want to go home?
How are you going to want to go to bed? You can't go to sleep. No. You just saw Gargano Ciampa for the 17th time in 2018.
Right.
But you want more of it.
Right. And also, there's SummerSlam the next day, so you're like, I don't want to see more wrestling.
Right. You need a palate cleanse.
But you also don't want to get out of the wrestling zone entirely.
You need a palate cleanse, but you don't want to fucking eat shit. You still want to eat something
absolutely.
That tastes good.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
And you know what that good taste in your mouth is going to be? Dan Black.
Yes, that's right. And Dolph Ziggler.
And Dolph Ziggler.
The Intercontinental Champion. The Comedians Wrestling SummerSlam Tacular is we're going to have a full-on stand-up show. I'm going to do a long set of all professional wrestling about pro wrestling. So we're going to stay in that same celebration of wrestling mode. We are the bridge to SummerSlam.
The bridge to SummerSlam.
A week away,
I
just thought of what our slogan is.
The bridge to SummerSlam?
The bridge to SummerSlam. Can you cross it?
Nice.
The show is at Caveat Theater on the Lower East Side, just a hop, skip, and a jump away from the Barclay Center.
And a Subway. You're going to hop, skip, jump, and then take a Subway.
Or an Uber. Split an Uber.
Split an Uber. It's better.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, and look, if you're like, hey, I don't have someone to split the Uber with, find a random person.
Meet a friend.
Yo,
meet a friend.
Come to the show.
Bring him to the show. That's two tickets now. Or you could do an Uber pool. Or fuck it, you could take a Lyft. You don't have to do Uber.
You get into an Uber pool with a bunch of people coming to our show. Like someone's just like coming home from a regular ass night, and they're like, our night's just getting going.
Yeah, we just watched 4 hours of NXT. Now we're ready to watch somebody talk jokes about it.
Yeah, it's going to be dope. So come to the show. Dolph Ziggler will be in the house. The only question is he bringing the belt? All right, tell people where they can get their tickets.
You can get your tickets at caveat.nyc. This isn't one of those fucking basic, boring websites that starts with a www or ends with a .com. This ends in a .nyc.
Yeah.
So it's caveat.nyc. That's caveat.nyc. Just scroll down until you see the 818 shows, August 18th, and you'll see Dan Black's beautiful mug holding up a belt. It's the logo for the Cal SummerSlam-tacular show.
Right. So, and the tickets are selling a lot faster now as we get closer. We're already over halfway sold of the show. It's already going to be an awesome crowd. But don't wait. You can't. There are tickets at the door if there's space, but I'm skeptical that there will be space for them selling. But, hey, I don't know.
Also, they cost $5 more at the door.
Yeah.
So here's what's going to happen. You're going to see NXT. You're going to say, oh, man, I don't want to go home, but I didn't buy my ticket in advance. Now you're fucked. Now you have to spend five whole extra dollars.
You're absolutely fucked.
Just because you didn't have the fucking foresight to know that you'd want to go see the show. And now you're going to go and you're going to give $5 more to Dan Black's pockets.
Absolutely. Go right into my sweet pocket.
Who wants that?
Oh, I'm getting so rich from this show, it's ridiculous.
I mean, I don't think I'm getting paid producing the show, so... If you're feeling too rich,
that's a good segue.
I am getting paid because I'm actually getting a limited edition exclusive Cal SummerSlam Tacular cow print cow shirt. If you are a fan of the Cow podcast and you already bought the cow shirt, it's a great little logo. It's got the NWO style cow logo with a LaCroix in the background. This has a cow print background, and you could only buy them on the day of the SummerSlam Tacular at Caveat.
Yeah.
Except for me, I get mine for free in lieu of an actual payment.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you seem ecstatic about it. And if you want to see
it's a great shirt.
If you want, I mean, this shirt's worth more than what I could give you. So anyway, this shirt, if you want to see an unboxing of it, we just recorded an unboxing.
If you
want
to see our genuine reactions to when we first beheld the shirt.
Well, I made myself vulnerable there. We didn't open it beforehand. I was a little nervous they might come out whack. Right. But I was like, the unboxing's going live on the Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And the shirt turns out to be dope. And you can see my exact response on there.
Yeah, you can see. I got a couple things I just want to go back. Corrections already that we have to the show. Rick Grimes is, in fact, the main character of The Walking Dead.
I was right.
You also said that the show is growing by word of mouth. Actually, incorrect. Word of mouth is Ludacris's 2001 album by Def Jam label, Word of Mouth.
Right.
And then also,
so can't be growing by an album.
Right. Well, how would Ludacris's album from 2001 help the show be
growing? Yeah, I stand corrected.
I think it's growing from people listening, liking the show, and then telling their friends to also listen to
the
show.
Right, but it's not growing by an album by Ludacris.
Called Word of Mouth.
That's what I heard. I don't know.
Right. And then also, you said that the show, every episode this month, has more and more listeners. The show is growing every week. And then you also said earlier that I've been the guest on the show every episode this week.
Right.
You forgot to connect the dots appropriately and give me credit and saying this is the Shabiro effect. All the Shabiroholics, all the Shabroniacs, they're listening, they're liking my hot takes, and they want more.
I don't think that's a correction, more as an addendum.
It's an addendum, yeah. But I feel indignant that you didn't come to the conclusion on your own that I am the magical sauce here. I'm the illegit boss.
All right, that's great. Let's keep these SAT words going. Hey, we got a sponsor on this show.
Listen, I know that, you know that, but did they know that?
You guys, listen, we have our first ever sponsor of the show, and let me tell you, it's a guy, he's a lawyer. You can meet him at the Comedians of Wrestling live show.
He'll be there doling out legal advice.
That's right. Adam Letterman, attorney at law. Adam is the top guy at the law firm Davis, Saperstein & Solomon, located in New Jersey and New York. Adam was voted a top 40 under 40 lawyer nationally and certified by the Supreme Court of New Jersey as a civil trial attorney. Okay? Adam specializes in personal injury law. Call this guy if you've been hit by a car, a kendo stick, or an Elias's guitar. Now, all the Cow listeners, I've been told this by Adam himself, they get free legal advice from Adam. Just another perk of this podcast. You can simply just message Adam Letterman, L-E-D-E-R-M-A-N. I gotta pronounce it because I'm from Long Island. No way I'm doing it justice.
Of course.
Letterman. On Facebook, he's in the Cow Comedians of Wrestling Facebook group.
He's right.
So you
there.
Can just message him right in there. So hey, unlike Brock Lesnar, Adam will show up and be your legal champion.
I love it.
All right, you ready to get into some wrestling action?
I was born ready.
Okay. Cool. So first off, we got to give Kane a big congratulations.
Oh,
we have
of course.
A new mayor in Knox County, Tennessee.
Now, silly me, I thought Knox County was a county. Turns out it's a town that has its own mayor in Tennessee.
I was like, yeah, I'm going to look this up. And then I just didn't because I didn't care.
That's true.
It is unbelievable.
It's also very unbelievable that Kane's wife is like 2.5 feet shorter than him.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Well, it would be insane if she was his same height.
It would be insane if she was a 7-foot-tall big red machine.
Yeah.
But I also would expect her to have red hair or some sort of nod to the red machine motif of Kane. But she's not. She's just a
Mrs. Jacobs.
Just Mrs. Jacobs to you. Tanya. And I don't know what her name is. But she was there. Kane accepted the mayoral victory, and he entered the stage coming out to his theme song.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
His theme song being...
Yeah, that one. Yep, this is beautiful. This is the content. This is what keeps the show growing.
I think I did a good job.
I think you did a great job.
I would just sing the Kane song.
No, I would sing the lyrics, which I don't know.
Yeah.
So I think they go something like, "Here walks a silent sorrowing now, and yeah, I sell."
There are Kane lyrics?
In one of the versions.
Oh, yeah, there are. Yeah, if you let it play long enough.
And that's what he came out to, because he's not just a wrestler. He's not just a demon. He's also a mayor. And by the way, they should call him that now. Like, oh my God, it's the mayor! The mayor Kane! The demon mayor Kane has come back.
Well, I was thinking, like, in the office, like, you get in 8:30, and you know that, like, Kane's coming in at 9,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, oh, man, I hope we don't get Demon Kane today. I hope we get Corporate Kane, because I got a lot to do.
You got
to
get some work done.
And then he shows up in the mask.
Oh, fuck.
And you're like, fuck, we got Demon Kane. He's just tombstoning everybody.
Right.
Lighting the whole place on fire. Anyway, that's who. Congratulations to Knox County for becoming just a complete kayfabe town.
No, look, there's a strong tradition in this country of pro wrestlers becoming politicians.
Yeah, makes sense.
Jesse the Body Ventura was a governor.
Yeah.
Kane is a mayor. The president of the country is currently a WWE Hall of Famer, Donald J. Trump.
Yeah. The president of the United States has received a stunner.
And I got to tell you, that should be something that makes me very proud. It makes me very embarrassed.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing I like about the guy.
The only president that I want that's taken a stunner before is The Rock.
Yeah.
He's the people's champ, and he's going to be the people's president one day. Guarantee you. Let me tell you something. He runs. I don't care what his policies are. Yeah. I'm voting for him. His policies could be we're deporting kids and their parents to different countries so that they never meet each other again. I'm voting for him.
Hot.
If The Rock says, hey.
Sheb's in full effect.
If The Rock's policy is, look, here's what we're doing. We're giving healthcare, but only to people who are rich. And we're going to just, literally, the healthcare for poor people is we're urinate on them like they have jellyfish sting. I'm still going to vote for The Rock. That's a bad policy. I would hate that policy if someone else said it. If The Rock said it, I'm voting for him.
Well, I think that's what happened in this country. Anyway, this is not a political podcast, but hey, the wrestlers are pulling us that way. The Rock didn't rule out running for president. So, you know, what can we do? I mean, I think by 2020, this might just be a full-on political podcast.
It will still be a wrestling podcast, but you'll have to discuss politics.
Can you imagine that if Kane was like, all right, guys, thanks for coming out. Like, he's running for re-election, and he's like, all right, guys, we got, you know, they bring out, like, Springsteen or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, we got a musical guest here, but it's fucking Elias.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great.
You can fully just replace everything.
And he just heals off on the crowd.
Yeah.
But they love it, though.
Well, then Kane just tombstones him, and then they love it.
They love it. I gotta say one thing about Elias. I don't know if you plan on talking about him later this pod.
Well, you know what? I'm cool with just jumping right to Elias, because here's the deal. This is what my thought for this podcast, and then we're gonna start with your Elias thought.
Yeah.
All right, Roman, like, dominated Raw this week. Yeah. He had four different segments, and then he almost tagged with Rollins for a second match of the night. And it's like, Roman is clickbait, man. I mean, the guy, like, he's the low-hanging fruit. So I'm going to say, yeah, let's start away from Roman.
Okay.
Even though he's number one on the call sheet here.
Okay. I want to talk about Elias because Elias, he's doing the same shit, but he's doing it better and better every week.
They
find ways to make the same shit interesting. They're heightening it. Now he has a documentary crew. I mean, fuck me, because I didn't see his documentary on the network yet.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's amazing, but I know they make him look like a buffoon in it. So he's making his own documentary with his own paid people.
I heard it was uneven. I didn't watch it yet either. I'm going to watch it tonight. I heard that, like, part of it is serious, and then some of it is shoot. Kayfabe is like, people just being like, who?
Right.
You know, it'd be like Bieber or whatever, just being like, who's Elias?
They got Bieber in this doc?
Yeah, well,
that's
no,
a coup.
Whoever. No, not Bieber. Whoever's the most low-rate Bieber on the planet. That's what they got.
Nice.
Yeah. They got
J.C. Chassé?
Yeah.
All right, so cool. So,
Aaron Lewis from Stained. The guy's great.
I like that guy. Surprised he doesn't do more stuff with WWE. He seems like right in the wheelhouse of a WWE.
I think he's extremely... he's a very radical Republican, I think, to the point where it might be a bad look.
A no-go?
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, Elias this week, I mean, I hate that they're putting him in a program with Bobby Lashley, because that guy is a charisma suck. It just bores me to tears.
Yeah, but I'm a Lashley mark.
I know, you just like watching him because he's just too weird for words.
He's so bad that I love it.
But I love that Elias was doing his own doc this week. I love that he never hits his enemy with his guitar, because it's a good guitar.
Yeah, it's a real guitar.
That's the amazing... That's the difference between Elias and all these kayfabe rockers. That's a real guitar that Fender made for him. Custom. So even when he's going to attack his opponent from behind, he's not going to hit him with the guitar. He's not going to... You'll never see that guitar break.
Right.
Because that's a good guitar.
Well, they have an amazing thing with Elias, Strowman, I mean, even Ronda in a way. They have a bunch of talents whose their best thing has nothing to do with wrestling.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, where their talent...
The Miz also?
Yeah, The Miz. I wrote a list of them actually here, but I think we just hit all of them. I think The Miz is the other one I had. I added Carmella there too.
Sure.
Because her appeal has nothing to do with ring work. Yeah. Yeah, Alexa also, but the thing with, it is amazing, the longevity there of these characters is like, they don't have to have matches every week.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the amazing, and I think Elias is the pinnacle of it.
Mm-hmm.
The magic of an Elias character is that he can have captivating segments.
Right.
That don't have anything. I forgot he was a wrestler this week. That's what I wrote in the Facebook page. When was the last time? I don't remember the last time he wrestled. I have no memory. I think it was Rollins for the IC belt.
He must have had a match after that. I mean, sometimes he'll rough it up with people. Like he'll
no he roughs it up, but he's a segment guy.
He's a segment guy.
That's a sweet spot to be in, because when he wrestles, it will be a spectacle.
It's a big deal. But let me ask you this, right? When all these guys talk about how they were growing up and they always wanted to be WWE wrestlers, and they think about, like, oh, I want to be on WrestleMania. I want to be the guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to... Do you think part of that dream
it's
is...
a mistake.
No, do you think that dream is
your
like...
Your dream should be something else.
No, but do you think their dream, part of that dream is like, I want to be a guy who plays the guitar but doesn't actually have any matches but is really funny? Like, does anyone dream of being a segment guy?
Yeah, I mean,
because so many of the best wrestlers are the best because of their segments, not because of their wrestling. It seems funny that these guys have to train to be pro wrestlers. They have to go to the fucking dungeon or hang out with Killer Kowalski for 10 years and take bumps when all they really got to be doing is learning how to play the guitar. You know, like, that's what's funny to me. Like, is anyone's dream to be a great performer wrestler, not a great in-ring wrestler?
Yes, me.
Nice.
My dream would to be having cool segments.
Yeah.
I want like a snake. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
what I was going to say is that everyone dreams of being a wrestler and seeing their name in the big lights and having those matches, but they never think about what their gimmick's going to be. Like, if you had a dream and that's going to be a big entertainer guy, what is your dream segment?
For me?
Yeah, is it a talk show like, you know, Owen, like, you know, Talk is Jericho?
Yeah, I mean, everything The Rock did. That's my dream segment. Like, The Rock, The Rock played the guitar also. Remember?
Barely.
Well, he sung SmackDown Hotel.
He strummed it one time, maybe.
No, he's not great at guitar, but
he touched the guitar and noise came out of it, but he didn't play the guitar like Elias does.
No, like, the segments that come to mind, like, are, like the best segments are, like, all the Stone Cold Rock stuff. It's like, so, I don't know why this is the one in my mind, but I remember The Rock giving a eulogy for Taker. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And he was, like, up by the ramp, and they had, like, mounds of dirt. And he was just at a podium pretending the Undertaker was actually dead.
That's great.
But he was, like, pretending to be sad, but also just talking shit.
Yeah.
I love that.
Okay.
I want to shoot, like, the beer truck. I want the milk truck, like, all that stuff.
So, but your dream segment would be to give a eulogy or to drive a truck? Like, what's the thing that you want to do?
What's your segment? I got to think.
I don't know that I have one. It's just an interesting thing to say because everyone thinks about being a big wrestler.
I know what you're saying is that, like, when you're like, I want to be a wrestler, do you think about bumping and you'd be like, yo, I want to have a big match.
Right. Everyone thinks about their big match. Who gives a shit about their matches? That's, you know, secondary. You got to be, when you want to be a wrestler, when you're growing up as a kid, it's funny that none of us think about, like, here's this hilarious or amazing segment I want.
Yeah.
What I want my segment to be would be kidnapping the boss's daughter, drugging her, and marrying her against her will. kidding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But Triple H did that.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah, would you rather have the match made in heaven or, like, the Daniel Bryan moment at WrestleMania 30?
I'm not shitting on having a big WrestleMania moment and having a great match.
Yeah.
I think everyone dreams of having that Daniel Bryan moment.
You're a wedding segment.
I think everyone dreams of having that Daniel Bryan WrestleMania 30 moment, but they really need to realize that that moment doesn't exist without good segments.
Yeah.
And they should be dreaming about what kind of segments they want to have.
Actually, the thing I want to do the most is the Rollins cash in at 31.
Yeah,
I want to cash in at Mania.
I want to heel cash in.
That'd
be great.
Yeah, all my dreams involve the briefcase.
Yeah?
I mean,
it's a beautiful object.
Anyway, what I'm saying is that, like, the most over guys are Strowman, Elias, Miz, Alexa. Anyone else that you put in that category?
I put AJ in that category, and he's a match guy.
Yes, AJ is a match guy.
But by and large, most of them are segment people.
Well, I always make the point, there's one guy who could be the best wrestler, and then that's his gimmick.
Right, yeah.
He's the best wrestler.
He's the best wrestler.
Yeah, but it's kind of amazing how, when it comes to WWE, that stuff gets, the stuff that's not wrestling is what makes the wrestler.
Right.
Still.
Sure, wrestling isn't wrestling.
Yeah. So, like, I'm just thinking about it. Like, Elias, like, if you are Elias right now, you have no titles, and you're kind of, he's getting steps away from being, like, a title holder in a way.
Right.
He will definitely, I think he has potential to be the champion.
The main belt holder.
Yeah, potential.
One day, sure.
Yeah.
He's got the charisma for it.
Yeah. And also, all you need is, like, a moment.
Right.
You know, Daniel Bryan, you wouldn't think.
Right.
He had, like, a moment, so we'll see what that is, but I'm just saying, like, would all right, I'm gonna take a step to the side here.
Take a sidestep
because I'm rambling a bit, but this is because I've had 2 points today. When I was watching SmackDown, I had the thought about, like, I was thinking about this Elias point, and I was thinking about Like when you come into the performance center and you're like, I was like an ex football player or whatever. And you're like, now I'm in wrestling. And like, yeah, I was a fan of wrestling, but now I'm a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And probably like the first, I don't know this for sure. I could ask people who are wrestlers, but probably the first thing they do is like, yo, this isn't like, it's not about ego. It's about like the business and like what your role is in that match, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I think when you get through that, like, let's call it a boot camp.
Right.
Right?
You got to break them down to build them back up.
When you come out the other side of that, do you think that your brain is now like Elias, where he's like, that segment is just as important as having a main event title match on Raw?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, hey, I filled those, I entertained those people for 20 minutes on Raw, and like to the point where he doesn't even think about titles.
I don't think he gives a shit about it.
Because I've got that vibe when I talk to wrestlers that like they don't think about belts the way that we think about belts.
No, I mean, that's a part of it, but it's not the thing. The thing is how over you are.
Right.
How much TV time you get, how your segments are doing, and that then the belts will come.
Right.
I think in Japan,
they really care about the titles.
In Japan, they care about the titles and win-losses a little bit more, which I'm really happy to see that win-losses seem to matter a little bit now.
Yeah.
With the Kevin Owens-Braun Strowman feud. Like, Braun's power's going down, and Owens has started being like, look, if you lose by countout, I'm taking that briefcase. Like,
right.
They're making wins and losses matter in a way that they didn't. Oh, one pay-per-view ago when Braun just threw Kevin Owens off the cage and lost the match and didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, wins and losses don't matter as much. Titles don't matter as much as they do in Japan.
Okay. All right. I'm going to make this even clearer. Like, yeah. So, all right, I'm an improv comic. People know that. I've done improv for a long time.
Yes.
And for a long time, when you go through school, it's like, they're like, hey, well, like, in a scene, you're a straight man sometimes, right? And then, or forget about even being a straight man, because I'm cool with that. But sometimes, like, what's your role? You know what I mean? And
that's
you're like,
the
hey,
part.
The show was good, but my role was minimal, but I was a glue player, let's say. Maybe not, like, the sexy star.
Right.
And I have to be honest with myself and know that, like, I was never cool just being, like, the glue player.
No, yeah, that's
and
not
then,
you.
And I also didn't feel like that was actually my role. I didn't think that I was helping by doing that. Like,
right.
I think, you know what I mean? I felt like, so I'm saying that could I, if I was like, yo, my role, I'm here to just get this guy over. I completely bury my ego.
I think some people have to, look, you got to know your role and shut your mouth, like The Rock said. The Rock says this, and that's literally boils down to some people have certain roles to play, but you got to know what's going to bring you to the dance, right? I think all of wrestling is just trying to search and find that gimmick, that angle, that thing. 1% is whoop ass.
Yeah,
that's going to bring you to the dance, and maybe it's not going to be the thing you thought,
right?
But you're going to find something that works, and then that's your role. Boom! Now you play that part. Elias,
right.
I don't think he thought he was going to be a guitar playing mega heel. Classic heel is just going to shit on the town he's in every night.
Right.
But that's what works for him. He's got to ride that horse all the way to the finish line.
Right.
Because it works.
But
other guys like Lashley haven't found the thing that works for them yet. So they're shoehorning them in angles, and they're trying to figure out, you know, booking that's going to make them look good and get them over. But he doesn't have a role yet.
Right. So you can go kind of like the goof angle.
And they all
can lead to the same summit. You know what I mean? Like, it's like just different paths.
Look,
but that's separate from my point is that, like, I'm like, if your role is, all right, let's say you have now transformed into someone. It can't be like Big Show, because Big Show right now, Big Show was big time. Now he's like over the hill. So now he's playing that role. But what if you're a full time blank, who's like a glue guy, what you call
like an
R jobber to the star,
an R-Truth, a Ty Dillinger,
R-Truth. If you're R-Truth,
how do you feel about it?
I
mean, that's just look. If he hated it and he thought you either got to believe in yourself that you have more to offer, or you got to believe that this is a great spot for you to be in right now. I think R-Truth believes he's in the right spot. He's making money. He's touring. He's working. People like him. Things are good. So he's happy. If
what
he
about
wasn't
like Alicia Fox this week? We'll get tied that into this week.
Sure. Well, I was going to say, if R-Truth wasn't happy, he'd do what Cody did and left, right? But he didn't, so he's fine. Alicia Fox, I mean, a month ago, I didn't even know she was still with the company. She's having like a moment right now, for better or for worse. She seems crazy, right? Like, she seems like she doesn't know what she's doing out there.
Well, I don't, that's, in my notes here is that, like, I feel like I don't know if she's working us or she's just legit, like, bananas. Like, her timing on the – like, she actually seems like – has, like, charisma.
There's some charisma.
She's,
there,
like,
yeah, kind of sure.
pretty articulate in
yeah,
a way.
She's saying cool stuff.
But her, like, rhythm and timing on the microphone is so off. Like, I just want to give her the note, like, just keep your mouth near the microphone. You've been at the company for 10 years. You don't know. Look in the mic when you're talking. Like, have your mouth in front of the microphone when you're speaking.
Yeah, it's nuts.
And it wasn't clear what she was saying, but the things she was saying were cool.
Right, and she was very animated, but, like, in a way that's like, what's happening here? Like, she right. was doing good work, but it was very unfocused. It seemed, look, I don't want to diagnose her. It seemed a little bipolar.
Well, honestly, I think that is the Foxy gimmick. I think Fox's gimmick is she's bipolar.
I'd like her to see a psychiatrist.
Yeah. But I think that is her gimmick, is that she's crazy.
Okay.
Because remember for a while she was wearing the captain's hat? You don't remember that.
No.
But, yeah, you
she was
that,
wearing,
but,
she was
I'm
wearing
saying,
some sort of Captain Crunch.
Yeah. She was the captain of the. She was the captain of Survivor Series Raw team.
That was her credit that she bragged about on
and
Monday, and I thought
she
was
dressed like a pilot captain.
Okay,
going into SummerSlam dressed as a commercial airliner pilot,
like a ship captain.
Like, she was still dressed like sexy or whatever, yeah. But then the new moon would get mad at me for saying
that. For saying someone looks sexy? Men or women could dress sexy. It's not weird or sexist or swampy. She was dressed sexy and also like a captain. That's fine.
Okay. So she was wearing, you know, she was still in like her bikini gear.
Right.
But like had a captain's hat on and a little jacket.
Yeah. Like a Halloween costume.
Yeah. And then she was like, had like intercom
oh,
and
really?
Was like, this is your captain speaking.
That's amazing. I'm yeah, so yeah. on board with that.
It was good.
How long ago was that?
That was like Survivor Series.
This year?
Yeah.
Like 2017?
Yeah.
I was out 2017.
Yeah, you were out. You were out.
I had a bad year.
You had a bad year. But people putting, piecing the puzzles together.
She was, that was her, that's an amazing little bit of business.
I dug it. So then, but then like you, she was like kind of gone for a while.
Yeah. I haven't seen her in months.
Yeah. So anyway, she came back for this match with Ronda, but I want to make sure we summed up our other points before we go into that. It's like, so I think there's two elements to it. One element was like, are you cool with being like a utility player?
Right. And I think some people are.
Right. Like some, I think it's some roles. I'm like, that's an awesome role. Like I see like Heath Slater and I'm like, dude, he's doing great work to the point. And most guys who do good work in that way, I'm like, I'm cool if you throw a title on them.
Right. Well, that's the thing. You work at the company, you put in your time and you do good work. Eventually it's going to get noticed. So bit players like Heath Slater, even like R-Truth, at some point they might say, you know what? This guy's doing pretty good work. He's filling a role. And, you know, let's run with it. Let's see how far we could run with this.
Right.
And sometimes they hit a wall and you find out, nah, no one's this isn't working for people.
Right.
And sometimes it surprises you how far you could take it. Like the B team is taking it all the way to the bank.
Same as Slater and Rhino.
Right. I mean, they had titles at some point, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
They were the first SmackDown tag champions.
Yeah, which is that's a bit of history right now.
Yeah.
But the B team just dusted off a new theme song this week. Amazing.
Yeah.
But they are one of those things where like these guys are putting in their time, they're doing good work, they were the Mizrahi, they're filling a role. Let's see, and people are liking them.
Yeah.
Let's see how far we could run with this.
Okay, so the thing with Elias, what I think is that I think we're just in this era where you really see the benefit of like you're not Daniel Bryan, you're not AJ Styles, you're not an indie workhorse coming in, you're not Ricochet.
Right.
Like, right? You come in, although me and Newman disagreed, I watched Ricochet's promo last week on NXT, and I was like, it was really bad. Like,
right.
I was like, it was like, this guy really needs to work on his mic skills.
Right.
And Newman was like, how's that bad? You compare every promo to The Rock. And I was like, yeah, I do. I was like, yes, it is unfair to expect The Rock's work, but he's the benchmark for me.
Sure.
Right? He's like, the 10 out of 10 is Rock.
It's like Juice Robinson said, if you're not trying to be the Rock, the hell are you doing here?
I'm loving those Juice promos. I mean, everyone is.
Everyone's loving the Juice
promos. They're kind of amazing because they're just like they're just fully genuine. They're just shoot.
Yeah, they're shoot. But
yeah.
I didn't want to.
Okay. We're derailing the
derailing
point.
This thing, yeah.
Is that, what was my point?
I mean, it's been derailed to the point of oblivion, but it was saying that, like, Newman says that how can you compare Ricochet's promos to The Rock?
Yeah, I was talking about work rate guys.
Right, right, right.
And then I derailed on Ricochet. Wow, so much to talk about. Is that, like, I felt like in the past couple of past like 3-4 maybe let's say 5 years, the indie scene boomed so hard to the point where it took wrestling to the next level work rate wise, and that's still what's going on in Japan. But it is showing, like, WWE, where, like, in the wake of that, everyone trying to be like, oh, it's about the wrestling in that Daniel Bryan hole that came after the CM Punk era.
Right.
I feel like a bunch of people have slid in who don't have the that work rate.
Yeah.
Because they're like, hey, well, I'm going to do it this the 90s way.
Well,
because
they have charisma and mic skills, and they fill other roles that wrestling needs. It needs comedy spots. It needs a little bit of shtick. It needs a little bit of gimmick. It's not just matches. There's a reason that NJPW is not the biggest product in America. It's because American audiences want more than just six-star matches. They want to be entertained.
Right.
And Vince gets it, man. People shit on Vince. He gets it.
It's just interesting. I think anyway, this week it really was on display. Because if you look at Elias, let's focus on Elias specifically. Yeah. The guy is shadily a pretty good worker.
Yeah.
Shadily in incredible shape.
Yeah.
Jacked, like one of the most jacked guys in the locker room.
Absolutely.
He has amazing hair, by the way. He doesn't really...
It fell down this week. It came out of the bun, and it was really glorious.
He has the look of a pro wrestler in a classic sense. The fact that he actually looks like a bigger macho man.
Yeah, he's like a macho man. He looks like the macho man.
And he's got this amazing charisma and act, where you're like, if he has the belt, he can hide in plain sight... not wrestling in that way that Brock Lesnar's like not wrestling, where it's just like, hey, I'm not wrestling because I'm working on an album.
Yeah, I got a touring schedule, man.
And then he's making salt. Like, right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. He feels like such a... He can have such a great IC run.
He's a star. I mean, that's what you
said. Except for the fact that the IC belt right now is the work belt.
It's the worker belt.
So while they have to move... Once Reigns gets the Universal title next week... then that can go back to, like, every guy who's at IC, every guy wrestling at IC level is immediately bumped up a belt.
Yeah.
Once Brock goes away.
Sure, yeah, it raises, it creates a spot.
Yeah.
Creates a slot.
So anyway, Elias, all right, back to Alicia Fox.
We're going back to Alicia Fox? All right.
Let's just talk about the Ronda Rousey segment, because we were talking about that. So Ronda Rousey wrestles Alicia Fox in a way where they made this match, like, super, not in a weird way, strange only because we watch this thing every week.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you watch UFC, they intro the main event match the same way every time.
Right.
Right? Like, it's Bruce Buffer comes out, and then they do say the sponsors. They treated this match, which was just an exhibition match on Raw, like it was, like, a UFC title fight. It had a promo package. It had, like, a full-on ring announcing, a promo before.
Then they interviewed the
challenger.
They decided to interview Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, Alicia Fox came to the match to Alexa's music.
I mean, they know where their bread is buttered. They know who the star is there.
Yeah,
not Alicia. But yeah, it was anything Ronda is going to be given the full red carpet pay-per-view treatment. And that's a good thing, man. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. Like, it was a little jarring that they decided to interview Alicia and Alexa right before the match, but it's just putting more time in that segment.
Yeah, so there's something like Ronda Rousey. Again, this hits on my same point this week, which is that, like, having a skill outside of wrestling is so fucking valuable. And it always has been. I mean, Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ronda Rousey, when she's just like shadow boxing backstage, it's like magic.
It's so crazy, yeah.
You start seeing, like, that's real fighting.
She looks incredible. She looks way more threatening than any of these people.
Yeah.
It looks amazing. The crazy thing is, she was never known for her striking. Like, she's not a striker.
No.
She's a grappler.
She got destroyed when she faced strikers.
Right. Well, there were a couple strikers that she outstruck.
Yeah.
In her career, in her storied, famed, Hall of Fame career. I still think she's the greatest female fighter of all time in the UFC history. I will stand by that. She might not be able to hang with some of these women today, but she put women's MMA on the map. And she had a couple knockouts in her run.
Yeah.
But she's not known as a striker, so it's funny that they call her, like, you know, this excellent striker and show her shadow boxing and stuff.
Yeah, but when she shadow boxes or whatever, like, it's like, whoa, like, it looks different. The only thing about Rousey is that when she is in the ring and she, like, removes the leather jacket and she's wearing, like, her, like, sports bra, whatever she fights in, whatever you want to call it, like, she is so jacked.
Yeah.
Like, she looks so scary.
She's the best. Yeah. She's feminine and jacked at the same time. She's a legitimate threat in there. Her physicality is head and shoulders more believable and thereby more threatening looking than any other performer on the roster. She is the real deal.
Yeah. It was an obvious squash match. Rousey won her first match there. She's judo flipping like a maniac.
She did a Three Amigos of judo flips.
Which, by the way, is a move that I think will never get old.
The judo flip?
No, I think she'll keep doing it. And
why not?
We'll like it the whole way through.
I mean, people have signature moves.
Yeah.
Eddie Guerrero had the Three Amigos.
Yeah.
You know?
She's just three German suplexes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Other people have done triple moves before. So her triple is going to be the judo throw.
Oh, did she? Yeah, she did it three times,
yeah,
right?
As a signature.
Was she holding the wrist the whole time?
Yeah, and she's flipping around. She looked great in there. She's doing great work.
She already has a moveset that's really exciting.
It's already great.
I don't even know, Alexa. Oh, I guess she has the Twisted Bliss and a DDT.
Yeah, she has
the... What Sasha Banks does, the
bank statement. And
but she has
other,
no
she has
strike
a back,
finisher.
A backstabber.
She does a backstabber into the bank statement.
Yeah.
Belly to belly.
That's an awful.
Charlotte has the
awful move.
Natural
selection as well as the figure eight. Yeah.
What's Carmella's finish?
She just kicks you in the head.
Yeah, she has just like the Del Rio kick.
I mean, it's just a kick.
Yeah.
It's whatever.
All right. Anyway, cool. So Ronda Rousey killed it. Now let's get into the main.
Yeah. What
squeeze,
did you want to start? How do you want to start this podcast?
Paul Heyman.
Okay, top story of the week, I guess, is Paul Heyman.
Well,
right?
I just wanted to avoid the Roman Reigns. Like, we always start with him, and then it leads to Brock, and then I'm like, all right, let's get... So Paul Heyman this week cut a promo. It was a promo, but it was a backstage pre-taped interview with Renee Young that was a lot of people saying the best thing promo they'd ever seen.
I disagree.
People were going nuts for it. Let's get into it.
I don't think it's the best promo. Heyman has put out 20 better promos than that. This was unique in its novelty. Like, you never see Paul Heyman red-eyed and fake crying, but I don't think he did anything better than what he usually does. It's just different.
Yeah.
So I think it's easy to say, oh, this is the best, just because we've never seen it before.
Yeah. I think coming in it from the angle where I saw a lot of posts being like, yo, that was the best thing I'd ever seen, I kind of had higher expectations for it, but... The expectations were appropriate in a way. I just expected it to be a classic in-ring promo just from seeing the, you know, Twitter and whatnot. But for me, the thing about this segment that I thought was incredible was, first off, like, Heyman, his acting was amazing.
He could be in the movies.
Yeah. He could 100% in the movies.
I don't know why they're putting The Miz in movies. They're putting John Cena in movies.
He could play Penguin.
He could play anything.
Yeah.
He could play fucking Othello. He could play any role in the world in the book. He's amazing. Okay. They put fucking Ted DiBiase Jr. in a movie one time from WWE Studios.
Well, he played Marine?
I think like the Marine 14 or something like that. He's the Marine 14.
Yeah.
Put Paul Heyman in a starring dramatic role. The first dramatic picture from WWE Studios.
A rom-com.
No, rom-com is not dramatic. I want a drama. I want an Oscar bait movie.
I want
him to play.
Yo, put Paul Heyman in a rom-com.
As what?
The love interest.
He's disgusting. I mean,
you put him in with like, you know, like a Jennifer Aniston.
No, put him with a Jennifer Grey.
Yeah.
Anyway, he could be winning Oscars right now. Well, he could play in that. Who did the fucking The Shape of Things? What was that called? The Shape of Everything?
The Shape of Water?
No, maybe I'm the
Theory of
Everything.
Yo,
I'm combining movies.
You want him to play Hawking?
Yeah, I want Paul Heyman playing Stephen Hawking. He'd lose some weight for the role, like Tom Hanks, you know, like Christian Bale for The Machinist. He would go to great lengths. He's a fantastic actor. He's the best actor WWE has ever produced.
Yo, that's a great idea for WWE. WWE should make shot-for-shot remakes of movies with Heyman as the star.
They talk about The Rock having the biggest crossover appeal, and he's the biggest box office draw. That's because they're doing it all wrong.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman will have the biggest box office appeal. He will be the new Rock.
They go back to 21, and remember they did the
in Hollywood, those were great. The
promos?
Because it was big time.
You can't handle the truth?
That was some great shit. If you are not familiar, go back and do yourself a favor. Watch all the promos, the movie vignette parody promos that they did for WrestleMania 21 with all the wrestlers playing classic movies. They had a great one with JBL and John Cena doing A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
Love it.
What about, did they do a Basic Instinct with Hornswoggle?
They did a Basic Instinct,
maybe,
right?
But who was it?
It wasn't Hornswoggle.
It had to be like Stacey Keibler or
something.
Yeah,
it was one of those old school divas.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, let's talk about Heyman. So, to be fair, I'm not saying it was a bad promo. I don't think it was bad. I think it was really good. All I'm saying is I disagree with people saying this is the best promo they've ever seen or this is the best promo they've ever seen Heyman do. It was very good, but it's not the best.
All right, people. 2 points. Is I feel like Heyman showed us a taste of what the potential of pro wrestling for me. Like, I think pro wrestling could be full-on way more, like, dramatic. Like, I think professional wrestling could be a lot more serious and more adult.
I think
pro
wrestling.
But not adult in the way that it's perverted.
Right.
Like the Attitude Era. But, like, the relationships could be a lot deeper and a lot more meaningful. You know what I mean?
Agree.
It takes more complex writing, and it's probably not worth it. It's definitely not worth it to do because playing broad like they do and keeping it tongue-in-cheek gives it the mass appeal. Right, the mass appeal it has.
It's theater for the people.
Right, absolutely. And it's PG and whatever. But Paul Heyman was up there like a point where you felt for him. And also the storyline was like it's a man who he was in like a completely abusive relationship. Like he's still being like he was defending Brock a little bit. He was like full on like he won't call me like this. But it's like he's like on point. He's so good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Paul Heyman.
It's like the thing where it's like, it's my fault. It was almost like that.
Definitely.
And I just felt like it was such an amazing thing where you're like, wow, look, this Paul Heyman character, you're interested where he's going like any TV show.
Sure. Yeah. I think.
Like, will he get back with Brock?
Will he or won't he?
Right. What's he going to do at SummerSlam?
I don't know. And it's now probably the most anticipated thing to look for is what is Paul Heyman going to do at SummerSlam?
Right.
Will he help Brock? Will he help Roman? What's this guy going
to
do?
Sorry to interrupt you, but I'm saying like in a way where look at the female build right now. Look at the female build.
Delicious.
We're not talking about wrestling anymore.
Okay.
I got a chart.
I have an anatomical map of a female build.
Okay. No, look at the female build to SummerSlam right now. Even on both shows, really. But let's focus on Ronda Alexa. That's more of a classic build to a pay-per-view. Or I was just keeping it raw. Even look at the Joe AJ.
They're very similar. It's
right.
A classic heel. In one version, the chicken shit heel Alexa, who's finally, Ronda's finally going to get her hands on her and get her revenge. The Joe AJ thing is more, this is a monster heel who's like always, you know, beating this guy up behind his back whenever he can. Now
right.
This guy's going to get his hands on him.
And so this Brock thing is so much. This Brock Reigns thing
completely
with
different.
Heyman is so much more nuanced. Not to mention, you have the briefcase on the line and with the cash in there. Like
that's almost a separate.
It's a separate
point
thing
entirely. But just the fact of this is not your classic heel versus face, you know, scenario. This
right.
is like nuanced and emotional, and we're invested. And there's a third party in Paul Heyman, a guy who's not even a wrestler. We're more concerned with this guy's emotional state and what he's going to do more than with what's going to happen in the ring.
Absolutely,
and that's incredible.
And his allegiance is in question and important to you.
Yeah,
you will feel when you're watching SummerSlam if you have a moment where they're like both down and Paul Heyman is deciding which guy to like.
Yeah.
Wake up.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're going to be emotionally attached to that decision.
That's good storytelling.
Right. You can't be emotionally invested in the Alexa Rondaville.
I mean, you are a little. It's a little bit of a bump. You're taking a little bit of a hit. You got
There's
a little
really
jolt.
Nothing there.
You really just want to see the good guy beat up the bad guy. So you got that's,
right.
It's a very superficial emotional investment.
Right.
With Heyman, we're getting deep emotions. We're getting some deep tissue emotion.
Right. But here's the other thing: is that what I've defended about the whole Brock Reigns thing is that like it is long term story.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there is a thing there where it's like, oh, well, this feels important. The only problem here is that it's been botched by Roman stinking and Brock not being around.
Right.
But if I parlay that into the Daniel Bryan Miz storyline,
right,
which to me has potential to headline WrestleMania.
Yeah.
If they start it now and this leads to Mania.
I mean, if they have Daniel Bryan win right now, they're blowing the whole thing.
All right, and this is a big topic on the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page. We can talk about wrestling at 4 a.m. under his eye. Blessed be the fruit. If you listen to this and you're not on the Facebook page, you're missing out on the 4D experience of the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page podcast, by the way. This discussion, it stops right there, picks up right there
right
on
there
the Facebook
on
page.
The internet.
So join the Facebook page. It's the least swampy fucking pro wrestling group on Facebook. Anyway, so the Daniel Bryan Miz thing, I'm saying, like, yeah, the big topic was, should Daniel Bryan Miz, what happens at their match at SummerSlam? And everyone seems to be in agreement, whether you're Daniel Bryan or Mark. Like, I like Daniel Bryan a lot. You think he's a complete zero.
I don't think he's a complete zero.
You think he's a B minus.
I think he's the most overrated superstar in the history of the company.
Right.
I think he's good, but he's not that good.
People. Okay, so you think he's the most overrated ever, right?
Yeah.
But we're both in agreement that Miz has to
win.
Has to win at SummerSlam.
Or they're
SummerSlam.
Destroying this storyline.
Right.
Yeah.
And he has to win clean.
Sure. But that's too tall of an order. He's not going to beat him clean. Beating him clean would be the most interesting, best thing they could do for the storyline. They will have him beat him by cheating.
Well, when was the last time Miz won a match clean?
He
no schmoz at all.
He won a match recently, I think.
He beat Roman for the IC title, but the buckle was exposed.
Right, and didn't he do something in that gauntlet match? He did some work.
Yeah. He beat Daniel Bryan after the Bludgeon Brothers kicked his ass, right? And then he claimed that Daniel Bryan was 100%, which is what's so good about Miz.
All right, Miz is amazing.
He got up. I could see he was 100%, and I beat him with just my finishing move.
The Miz is the best. He's the best thing going. Are we, just to close the tie loop up here, are we done talking about Heyman?
No, I just parlayed it.
You parlayed. What else do we need to say about Heyman?
I'm just so excited.
It's a great week.
Here's
something I want to say about the Heyman. I think we covered most of what we need
to
say about
Heyman. We're going to Heyman, then we're going to Daniel Bryan.
It ties into both Heyman and the Miz Daniel Bryan story.
I actually was done with Heyman.
This is a blanket statement. What I want to say is,
this is for the Shibiriaholics.
This is for the Shibroniacs.
Shibroniacs, yeah.
Formerly the Shibiroholics. We are the force that's making this most listened to podcast every week. Compared to other episodes of the podcast.
It had nothing to do with Dan Soder.
Nah, this was all me, baby.
Yeah.
So, pro wrestling every week, specifically the WWE, is the most watched show on cable for decades at this point.
Yeah.
Why hasn't it won any Emmys?
This is in my stand-up.
This should win Emmys.
This is already in my stand-up.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this.
Yeah.
It should win Emmys. And forget, it doesn't have to win the best programming, but even like a daytime Emmy.
I say that exact point on stage.
Okay.
I played for it the other night. I was like, what the fuck is this?
It's fucking bullshit.
Sorry, too many people watching? Is that the problem?
That's they're not giving it a fair shake. What about just costuming or pyro or editing? Like, there's
I completely 1,000% agree.
And now we're throwing Heyman in there, giving Oscar award-winning performances. If this doesn't win an Emmy for Heyman, I don't know what will.
Yeah, we got to get that hashtag going. Oscar for Heyman.
Oscar for Heyman. Emmy for Heyman.
No, just
Oscar for Heyman.
He's got to win an Oscar. This is the best feature film.
I need an Oscar for Paul Heyman before I die.
Heyman was great in that. He had a great, like, put me out of my misery moment to Renee that we didn't talk about, where he was just like, do your job. Because she asked him something that was just too hurtful, which was what?
I don't even
know. Was like, do you think that you're done? Or do you think that he needs you anymore?
Right, that hurt him. That hurt Paul very much.
Because he was like, I saw this as a romance of me, the UFC title on one arm, the Universal title on the other arm,
and we ride off in the sunset. It was a little ridiculous at times. It was a great, great promo.
He sells the fuck out of it.
I mean,
and he didn't shave yet. He had stubble.
Yeah. Here's what Paul Heyman. And he even did a thing where he sort of like rubbed his stubble on his lapel so it would make a scratchy sound on the mic.
Yeah.
He's a consummate performer. Paul Heyman.
I'm a Paul Heyman guy.
I'm a Paul Heyman guy too. But Paul Heyman, oh man, he's so good. He does a couple things great.
Yeah.
He does a couple things better than everyone in the history of the world. He's so good at gloating, at being like that type of guy. And he's so good, and we saw it this week, of being pathetic. He's so good at playing. He's so high status, but he could jump down to patheticism.
Yeah,
immediately. Like last week when he was climbing on Kurt Angle's leg. Please don't fire me.
Kurt Angle pushed his head.
You just cringe. You're like, oh, you're so fucking pathetic, dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This week he's crying about his romance with Brock Lesnar. You thought they were gonna ride off of the. You're uncomfortable with how pathetic of a fuck this guy is.
Like 3 weeks from now, he's gonna be like a bajillionaire again,
right. And he's gonna be stomping down the ramp like he owns the place. Great talent. All right.
I kind of get bummed that he doesn't take care of himself. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I when I'm watching, I'm like, yo, I need you to keep living, guy.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's not going to be. He's not
his company is, like, resting on your shoulders right now.
That's true.
Can you imagine if they did this Brock thing without him?
There is no thing without Paul.
Well, Brock wouldn't be over without Paul.
Paul's the best.
But Brock definitely knows that. He knows that.
Who knows? He's a maniac.
Yeah, he's also a lunatic. So it's so believable that he would just like throw him.
I know.
Tell him to get a baked potato.
All right, anyway, we covered Heyman. We got Miz and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, so Miz, Daniel Bryan. So look, my booking on there, my booking on that was pretty, I wrote, we're talking about, Miz has to win clean. The reason he has to win clean is because Daniel Bryan needs to go from, is this novelty Daniel Bryan's back angle, which is cool to do for this amount of time, but now, okay, he's back. Let's make him really back. What works with Daniel Bryan needs some serious adversity. He can't just be a guy who kicks everybody's ass with heart.
Right.
You know,
it's just not believable at this point anymore.
Yeah, and it's boring, and he's not remotely an underdog.
Right.
So he needs to start questioning his ability, and if you go shoot, the answer is always shoot, right? It's always some kind of level of real authenticity. That's what's working with the Brock thing. It's what doesn't work about Roman Reigns.
Right.
Man, I didn't bring up my Roman point. I'll bring it up a little bit. But is they have to bring out the angle that's like Daniel Bryan had a serious fucking head injury. he has reason to not believe in himself. You know, he's seen his mortality. We're 5 years away, later, he's aged, now he's got a family, there's so much on the line, his body's not there, you know what I mean, like, it's like, wrestling's evolving, these guys, he was the work rate guy, but now we got guys like Ricochet in the company, sure. There's a lot for him to question.
What about guys like Seth Rollins,
yeah, his vulnerability should be, let's attack it.
I'm just saying, Daniel Bryan's strength.
So he loses clean to Miz. Nobody loses clean to Miz.
Right.
No one.
Right.
And then it's like, yo, man, I lost to Miz. Then he's like, all right, I got a rematch on Monday. He loses again. Right? And then it's like, he's down. He's like questioning himself. He's coming out just doing the yes chant. Maybe we have Vince backstage being like, hey, man, like, I feel like the yes chant, you're like, you're not going high enough with the arms. You know what I mean? Like, seems like you're half-assing the yes chant. You're just getting a paycheck. You say, yeah, look, I'm really like, I don't know. I don't feel like myself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then he loses to fucking Mojo Rawley. Like, whatever. I don't know. Or he's barely eking out wins that should just be squashes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Against guys we've never heard of, like 3KS?
Yeah, or like maybe he tries to give a promo at 3KS.
3SK, whatever they're called.
Yeah, Donnie Whitebeard.
Yeah.
And he maybe he's like cutting a promo post-match and he's like super winded.
Sure. He's like, or just forlorn, like he's looking in the distance like, I don't know what I'm doing anymore, man.
Right.
I just want to see my kid.
Yeah, and then he's like down on his luck and then he goes into the Rumble. And, you know, Miz has to win the belt. That's the other thing.
Yeah, that would make this feud take it to the
next level.
One
should go up and one should go down. You know what I mean? Like, I think Miz needs to beat AJ. He could cheat to beat AJ. That's fine.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But I would also love if Miz somehow beats AJ by cheating, but, like, Maurice does it, and he doesn't even know he cheated, and they're hiding it from him.
So he thinks he wins?
Yeah. So he has, like, a natural high of, like,
Right.
And then you have Miz ride the belt out. Look, this is Miz, if Miz doesn't get a push right now, it's a problem.
They're wasting it.
He is now, he has his show coming out. The ratings are good on his show.
According to him, I don't know if that's true. I believe him, but I don't know if that's true.
I Googled it. Honestly, I couldn't find anything, but I just believed him.
He's like, it has more views than like all the other shows.
You know
combined.
Me, I'm always looking to get worked. If I can just believe something they tell me, I'll take it.
He might be working us. But yeah, the point is that he's ready for this push. He's doing
it's
the best work
of
the company.
He's got to go up. And the Daniel Bryan, the interesting story, you would get behind the story of Daniel Bryan getting it together by Mania, eking out, winning that Rumble and being recharged.
Yeah, if they have him eat shit and die for a couple months, I'd get behind him because but we've talked about this before in the podcast, too. It's just not interesting what he's doing. This is boring.
But he should win the Rumble.
Whatever,
that,
man.
That's also the big thing is the fans will be so hot for him winning the Rumble, but he's got to be down on his luck before he wins
the
Rumble.
He's got to lose a little bit. His struggle should be internal. It should be like, do I still have it? Am I still good enough? I don't think that I am. He's got to lose belief in himself a little bit. That will be interesting.
Yeah.
What they're doing now is they're having like beat up the security guards and Miz, and they're just making him like a super powerful face. What? And that's boring.
The only thing my only snag in the writing is like, I can't, I haven't thought about it yet, but what is the spark to get, what's his like Rocky montage moment where like the bell hits, like, you know, and it goes, bum, and like, he's like, I'm going to train again. Right. You know what I mean? Like, what's the moment where he's like, I'm losing, I'm uninspired, collecting a paycheck, losing to Mojo Rawley, maybe fucking Jabroni Rude.
Right.
And he,
what turns him around?
And then he starts training real hard for and wins the Rumble. And then he goes like, if I lose the Royal Rumble, I'm out for good.
I'm retiring.
That's what I wanted him to say. But then I wanted to lose the Rumble.
That'd be great.
It's got to be something with his kid, right? It's
got to has to be, right?
Like the Miz like does a thing where he has his kid pin Daniel Bryan's kid in a baby ring.
It's got to be real though. Or feel real, obviously. It doesn't have to be real.
Okay, have the Miz kidnap his baby and drug her and then marry her in Vegas against her will. No, that storyline has already been done with Triple H again.
Maybe he talks to Cena?
He talks to Cena.
Because he's his brother-in-law. You know, Cena's actually his brother.
No, he's not. They're not married.
Oh,
Cena's
shit.
Not a Bella.
I forgot. And they're
that's crumbled. Yeah. He could, at one time, prospect for high for them being brother-in-laws.
What if he talks to Nikki and he's like, what do you think about me? Like, I look at me. Like, I thought I was the man I married. I could be embarrassed in the middle of the I got proposed to in the middle of the ring. I don't give up. You're going to fucking give up? I'm not giving up. And then Nikki goes out there, wins the belt at Evolution on 1028 in Long Island.
Right.
And then he's like, if Nikki can do it,
maybe.
She's like, when I broke my neck, you think I quit? You're going to quit? You're the one who inspired me to get through my neck surgery and come back and get through my almost kind of divorce breakup thing.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. That could happen. Nikki's the key? I think it's something to his kid. I think you got to do something with Birdie. You got to kidnap her.
You guys, on the Facebook page, vote. Let's start a poll right now. Would you rather Mrs. Kid pin Birdie? Or do you want Nikki Bella to inspire him? They're both fine.
I mean, I got to be honest. I think mine's way better.
Mine's better. But I sold mine a
Monroe
lot better.
Monroe Sky pins Birdie in the middle of the ring.
And he's like, yeah, I can't. Well,
and he's like, she's a fucking year younger than you, and she beat your kids.
Yeah, what if this? I mean, it's something with a kid. Oh, my God. How old is Birdie now? One?
I don't know. Old enough.
Is it possible Birdie wears a Miz shirt?
Birdie's a Miz fan.
She can't choose one out. She's not conscious.
She's not old enough to make a conscious choice. But it'd be really funny.
That is really good though. If she was 10 and she was like a Miz fan now,
right? Well, look,
that would drive him
nuts. They just long con,
can't have that.
If they long con this thing and make it, you know, have it go for 5 more years, she could do it when, you know, in kindergarten or something.
Yeah,
we have 15 minutes.
Okay.
We
Daniel
got
Bryan,
so
I love
much to cover.
Miz said he gave Daniel Bryan the gift of relevancy.
Which is true. Everything that Miz says is always true. He said that he doesn't need a match with Daniel Bryan, that Daniel Bryan needs a match with him. That is 100% true. Without the Miz, Daniel Bryan is fucking boring.
Okay, cool. Here's what I want to talk about. I mean, Daniel Bryan right now is boring. There's
yes,
no question
correct.
About that. His shirt literally says, I'm back. Still.
Right. Yeah.
His shirt still says I'm back. Okay? He's been back since WrestleMania.
Yep.
He still has a shirt that says yes is back. I actually like that shirt.
I don't.
Anyway, so I like the look of that shirt. All right. Here's the thing about Roman Reigns.
Okay? So you want to get to your Roman Reigns?
So Roman Reigns gives... You see that video of him give the shield fist to...
I can't talk about that because I'm going to say some fucked up shit.
No. All right. I don't know what you would say even.
So many. I have like 7 different routes to take on that. But yeah, you could talk about that video if you
all
want.
Right. You got to say that for the separate Jabroni.
I'll say one thing.
No, just stop there. Just all stop right. there. I don't know what you're going to say. We are in the same building where Howard Stern does record. So a little bit of shock jock seeps in, bro.
Fair enough. So what were you going to say about this video?
No, but I thought... So a lot of people sent it out, and then a lot of the comments were like, all right, so if you watch this video, basically it's at a house show, Roman, or maybe, no, not house show, Roman and
Rollins.
And Rollins, there's like a guy in the front row wearing a Roman Reigns shirt.
Right.
And Rollins sees him, and the kid
he's
is
clearly special.
He's clearly like a...
There's something special going on with him.
Right, right, right. And he puts his fist out to be like, yo, like, I love the shield.
Right.
And Rollins like, yo, Reigns, come over here.
Yeah.
And then they induct an honorary member into the shield. They showed it on Raw.
Right. Now, the thing is...
And they all do the fist.
I don't know... Everyone's like, oh, Reigns, man. I'm like, this is a fucking Rollins moment. Rollins put this thing together. Reigns is just going to go fuck himself in the corner.
Well, that's true, but my thought was like, a lot of people were like, yo, Roman, like, this is why he can't be a heel. I saw a couple comments that were like, he's like, because, guys, he's the Cena person. And my thought was like, guys, this is the problem when you start thinking about people two-dimensionally. I was like, really bad people are extremely charitable.
Sure.
Right? Really bad people... are charitable with their money and their time, right? And that's sometimes how they justify their really bad behavior.
Right.
Right? Especially, like, super greedy people, right? Which a lot of that's tax write-offs, whatever. But that thing where it's like, yo, look at Roman doing make-a-wishes or whatever. Like, you know, that to me is such a great excuse to be a heel.
Sure.
Like, if Roman keeps being that guy, right, but is like, saying to the audience when he goes heel, by the way, if Soder's booking of Heyman joining up with Roman, which I actually don't think will happen, and I don't actually want that per se. Because I want to see Roman cut heel promos on his own.
Sure.
That's why I don't want it. Because I have a feeling he's going to be great at it. Because he's, okay?
Yeah, because he's an asshole.
Because whenever he's good, it's heel. Whenever he does a good thing, it's heel. But I'm saying, what if he was like, yo, you guys, I don't care if you guys like me. Like, I don't care if you think I'm a good guy. I am a good guy. I've made more make-a-wishes than any of these losers in the back, right?
Right.
He's like, I'm not a good guy or a bad guy. I'm the guy, which is already what he says.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
It's
like,
be good.
They bring in the good stuff he does. He's like, I'm hosting the ESPYs. Like, I'm helping this company go there, and you don't like me? And that's how he goes heel?
Right.
Whereas, like, Cena always did that.
Cena would boo,
and it would go face.
People would boo him because they were sick of him, but then he was so good that they'd be cheering him by the end of his promo.
Right. And that's the difference between Roman and
Roman's
Cena.
Roman's not that good,
that
man.
Roman's not really... He's not a good guy like Cena is, but also, interesting enough, Cena's interesting. He also, like, doesn't have his own kids, which doesn't matter.
Doesn't make him a bad guy.
Does not make him a bad guy at all. You're obviously not.
Right.
But there is a weird thing about it where he's, like, always he's always making a wish for kids and stuff.
Yeah.
He's not interested. He doesn't want his own.
That's fine.
Doesn't matter.
Just don't think Roman has the charisma to do what Cena does. But yeah, I like having a bad guy Roman who's just like, you can't tell me I'm a bad guy because I'm doing all this good stuff. Can I say one more thing?
Yeah. We got to talk about Kevin Owens.
I want to talk about Orton. I want to talk about Kofi. These guys had moments this week.
Yeah, Kofi cut a promo. Let's just jump to Kofi quick.
Okay, Kofi as Kramer Kingman, I think his name was. An amazing white guy announcer character.
Someone made a comment that was like, yo, why is it not racist for him to be a white character?
I don't know. I
have no answer for that.
It's because, you know, you can't be racist against
except
white people.
Except the fact that I'm not offended by it at all.
I'm not offended by it. It's because, you know, white people aren't marginalized.
That's my thing. Is that like, oh, because you're not a marginalized group. But I'm saying, like, even that's not really a great argument.
Yeah, my thing is I think you should be able to do it the other way, too. I think you should be able to make fun of everybody for anything at all times. So I don't give a fuck.
I think we'll get there. We'll get to a place where hate and hatred is at a level where we can make fun of everyone.
I hope so. I can't wait to see that day. But Kofi as Kramer Kingman, this was hands down the funniest, most charismatic thing I've ever seen Kofi Kingston do.
Yeah.
This was probably the best thing I've ever seen Kofi Kingston do, and that includes handstands on Royal Rumbles. Like, this guy was incredible. So funny.
I need some shelter.
Yeah. His song was never good. But, I mean, he's incredible in ring. But I loved it. I marked out so hard for Kramer Kingman, whatever the fuck his name was. I need to see that guy again.
It was really fun. He's definitely going to do it again.
He has to because it was so good. I was thinking about the New Day and like, oh, yeah, we're a little sick of him. Maybe.
Nah.
I don't know. The thing about the New Day is this.
Not
I look
sick
at these
at
guys. What they have done is fucking remarkable. They got handed a dog shit gimmick of they put the three black guys in the company and gave them a gospel singer, like a gospel group gimmick.
Yeah.
They turned this into the biggest tag team franchise in the history of the company. They sell more merch than anybody. They're consistently doing the funniest shit ever. It hasn't gotten old. I can't wait for them to beat the Bludgeon bitches for the belt because I'm sick of those fucking idiots. Let's make a deal, baby. New Day is back.
Dude, I my thing about the New Day is that every time I think I'm tired of them, they come up with new shtick. They're really good at knowing like when it's time to like add something.
Sure.
You know, the pancake thing wasn't my favorite.
Not my favorite.
But it was fun and it was new.
It was something.
They're really... They have ownership over their gimmick, like in almost an indie way.
They are creative. They are actually, they have creative control.
They have, they clearly have creative control.
And they deserve it, and they're creative.
And they deserve it, and I was thinking about them as a model for like what could bring Omega and the Bucks over. It's
right.
Like if they could get some kind of deal where it's like, hey, we're going to work for you. We're going to get, you see the New Day? You see like what they get to do? Like, we will get you, like, let's, you know, let's work together, but ultimately we're going, that's our goal to get
right.
you there.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, totally. And then I also just wanted to mention Orton real quick.
Well, I was going to, we're going to talk about, all right, let's just, you want to talk about Orton?
We have 7 minutes.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about Orton.
Orton,
the
this is
most dangerous Randy Orton we have seen in some time. He says, I will become so violent, you will want to change the channel.
Amazing. This is some of the best Orton work I've ever seen. This is exactly the zone Orton needs to be in. If you don't like Randy Orton, that's fine, but you cannot deny he's doing fucking incredible work.
The three most destructive letters in WWE, RKO, throw the mic.
He doesn't even say the O. The crowd says it. It's over. This is over.
So this is
level
the,
of Orton
we're the,
is
listen,
over.
Listen, this is what I'm calling Dangerfield Orton. Because he's claiming he gets no respect.
That's true. And also,
and he's dangerous.
You're walking through a field of danger.
Actually, you're walking through a field of danger because he gets no respect. I'm telling you. Maybe I get the sound drop. But yeah, like, when I saw Orton, he was walking down the ramp. He looks like a million bucks. He makes everyone look like shit, always.
Oh, he's incredible looking.
He looks amazing. Always hot for him. You know that.
So the physique is incredible.
Him and Balor looked amazing this week.
Balor looks great. He looks
Balor is getting a lot. You could tell he's bulking up.
He looks really shredded.
He looks and he's putting on muscle. He's looking big. And he was standing in the ring like with his shirt off, just like
just
post-match.
Hanging out. Yeah, just be like, look at this shit. My fiance, she is like, oh you like this wrestler because these girls are, oh, I can't believe it. And they're walking around in the fucking bikini like it's so sexist. I'm like, if you think I'm watching this to look at the women's bodies, you got another thing coming, honey.
Yeah, I mean,
I am watching this wholly to watch the men's physiques. I am fucking going crazy for these bods. I'm marking out. I could look at Finn all day. I could look at Randy Orton all day.
That's
Drew
such
McIntyre,
an amateur comment.
She doesn't know enough about wrestling.
Yeah.
I got to teach her.
The problem is how much you're ogling the dudes.
I'm ogling these dudes. It's in a way that it is sexual harassment. Like, I am being to the men because I'm judging their bodies and appreciating their bodies on too high of a level.
We covered this on the show, and Newman, Newman always get he always he's always got the takes of what's going on socially and things I don't know about. And like Newman was saying, he's like, yeah, we're allowed to objectify men. He says straight up, we're allowed.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, whatever. I just take my social cues from whatever Newman says as the guy who's keyed into the.
Fine.
I don't even know what you call it. But
I mean, it's just funny because like you can make fun of white people and you can objectify men.
Yeah,
that's the stance of the
show. It doesn't make sense.
It's fine because it's not marginalized.
I know, but it's not a sustainable.
It's not sustainable.
I don't know.
We don't need to get into it.
It's so interesting when you're making television.
Yeah,
you're like, what? Like, all right, let's let this ride here. Like, what's offensive now is interesting. It's like, as we've become so, like, we're at this place now where, like, it used to be like, oh, you can't dress this scantily clad. Now no one cares about that.
Right.
Now you're like, now you could say less than ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably on NBC channel.
Troubled times, man. The left is the new fascists.
Yeah.
Well, not that I'm on the right. I'm just saying.
The extreme bolts are our problems.
For sure. Why are we getting into this? Who cares? Let's talk about Kevin Owens.
It is affecting my wrestling. But Randy Orton, I got to tell you, I was like, this guy, oh, man. I was like, why aren't we seeing AJ Orton? Like, just from him coming to the ring, on the mic, Orton as a heel, he's incredible.
As a dangerous heel.
I am so optimistic for this stretch of Orton.
I know. I want to see him take out Jeff Hardy, then set his sights on another legend, quote unquote, and take that guy out. I want to see him destroy legends.
Because I feel like for a while, I forgot what I liked about Orton. We were big on Orton during the Legend Killer era.
Sure.
And now he's basically found a new iteration of that, which is we're just the legend.
He's being a legend killer, but he's also a legend.
Right.
He's the legendary legend killer.
The legendary legend killer. The killer legend.
He's so fucking good right now.
Yeah, I'm very excited for it.
Yeah. So you want to take us home with Kevin Owens? That might be like the... Is there anything else you need to cover other than Owens?
Yeah. Carmella and I think this is my prediction for the Becky Carmella Charlotte thing.
Yeah.
I think that they're setting up for Becky. Carmella will retain at SummerSlam, and then they're going to set up the Becky Charlotte tag team versus Sasha and Bayley for the new women's title.
I mean,
because that's a fucking killer match. It's just a lot of their talent in one match is my only thought.
I don't know. I guess that could happen. I don't need Becky and Charlotte tagging. It's a waste of Charlotte, in my opinion. But
yeah, I'm not. You know how I feel about Becky. I think she stinks.
I don't think she's. I think she's good. Honestly, I think Becky wins the belt. I think she's just riding some momentum. Give her the belt for a little bit. Why not?
She could lose what momentum? Winning matches. She's so boring.
She just
went into this. That's why Becky's boring. Is because she doesn't play the guitar, man.
She can lose it to Carmella at the next pay per view. This is SummerSlam. It's not Mania.
Non-functional gimmicks is what I hate. When it's like,
sure.
You're like, hey, my gimmick is I'm a musician, and then you play music. That's
right.
Good. When you're like, my gimmick is steampunk, but you're not punk steampunking.
But you watch, she is steampunking. And steampunk is just cosplay. There's nothing going on with
it. Yeah, well, that's why it's a bad gimmick.
No one's actually building like a fucking, you know, golden mini bake oven that runs on steam.
Yeah, cool. We're going to see Bludgeon Brothers versus New Day.
Can they fire these guys?
R-Truth's mad funny.
Can we get rid of the Bludgeon Brothers already? This is maybe the worst tag team gimmick I've seen in 10 years.
The gimmick is bad, but I like that. I like the team of like those two, like
yeah,
being
two
like, extremely
big bearded
destructive
guys who are big, strong guys is great. Why do they dress like dipshits? Why do they carry big fucking dorky
Vince
hammers?
Loves it. Vince loves
it's
it.
It's terrible.
By the way, they did a Doomsday device. Did you see that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I dug that. I don't know. They're kind of growing on me. I wish they would just lose the hammers and the alpha. Like, the... I don't want them called that, but I like that tag team being
just
a serious
call them
tag
Rowan
team.
Rowan and Harper. It's fine.
Yeah, I like if something.
They have something. They look like cool hillbillies.
I'm not defending the Bludgeon Brothers.
Bludgeon Brothers? It sounds stupid.
All right. Bobby Roode. What's Bobby Roode's gimmick? Is his gimmick that he's glorious?
Yeah, that's his gimmick. He nailed it. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah, that's his whole gimmick. What are we discussing here?
I'm just saying Bobby Roode is the most two-dimensional character.
Sure.
It's like 90s era where it's like this guy like it's worse than like he's a clown,
right? Because a clown's at least specific.
It's an adjective we don't use.
Yeah,
there's no glory. Like, what's the
his entrance is very glorious.
Yeah,
he wears a robe. I have faith they'll pivot on Bobby Roode and find something for him.
People are like, yo, he's got to be a heel, but I'm like, yeah, fine, that was cool in NXT, it worked, but also it's like, if you turn Roman heel, I see how that goes. If you turn Bobby Roode heel, I'm not exactly sure where that goes. All right, Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, how do you feel about a couple things? All right, I'm just going to pepper you with these things. You can respond to them. They set up the Kevin Owens show not in the ring.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, that's such a cool artistic choice. They got to keep doing it. But then I was looking, I was like, it's not set up really good.
Right.
Like, I was like, this isn't because they want to give him a barber shop.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is like, and then it was like, it was just for Strowman to flip.
100%.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That made me not like it.
That didn't make me not like it.
I like the segment, but I'm saying I felt like the crowd was not hot for it because a couple reasons. Strowman felt dumber than normal in this segment.
I'm telling you, man, I'm burning out on Strowman a little bit.
But wasn't the crowd dead for this?
I don't
know. Not the Kevin Owens promo for the gender match.
For the gender match? It's a gender match. I mean, who cares? You know what's going to happen.
Right, but Kevin Owens was there schmozzing it up.
Yeah, it wasn't that interesting. I don't know.
Here's my thing. I like Kevin Owens. I like if they keep doing shows outside of the ring. I think that's cool. I think there is a cool thing where it's the Kevin Owens show. I think they should build more of a barbershop type set.
Sure.
I would love if Kevin Owens had like the Kevin Owens set.
I would love it if he had like a late night talk show desk.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And what if he got really caught up in it? Like, it has to go right.
He's like, oh, the show. I don't have a musical guest for the show. Yeah. I mean, I can't book Elias again. I just had him last week.
Yeah. But I like that he's manipulating gender. He was like calling him his personal guru. And then he used his Shanti thing. By the way, gender has also become just a complete goof character.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you have nothing and they give you a whole belt. And then like, well, now what do we do with
this
guy?
He does not have nothing. Gender has, I love his hair. Have you seen his hair?
He has good hair. I don't mean nothing. I mean, I don't think he's a zero. But I'm saying they really overplayed their ginger hand pretty early this year.
Right.
So now there's like, well, now what the fuck do we do with this guy? And there you have it. This is what we do with him.
Right.
Shanti shanti.
Yeah. But the thing is that with the writing there is that just to make a set so it's flippable,
yeah.
It's completely unprecedented that that's where the Kevin Owens show is.
Sure.
That's bad writing.
But that's wrestling, man.
It's fine. I didn't actually hate it. Here's what I was confused about is like, Kevin Owens grabbing the briefcase.
Yeah.
Does he need the briefcase to cash in?
No, it makes no sense. We talked to Adam Letterman, attorney at law, about this. They'd have to draw up a new contract, right?
Like, he doesn't actually need that. They'll make him a new one and give him a different briefcase. Like, that whole segment was too dumb.
It's just symbolic.
Yeah.
You know? It's like when guys steal someone else's belt and hold it up. It's like, you don't get the belt like that, but it's symbolic of saying, I'm taking this.
Right, and the thing about Strowman is that he actually kind of, like, outsmarts everybody in a way. Like, it's like, yo, you're going to escape him. He's already at the exit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, he's not, he's, like, menacing, but he's not as dumb as he looks or whatever, you know? This segment, he was just like, I'll go there. Now I'll go there. He became, like, very dumb, and Kevin Owens didn't do a lot of work to trick him.
It wasn't a great segment, but, you know, it's always nice to see
Kevin
Owens.
I'm saying why I didn't like the segment, all right? This is why people listen to the show.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Anyway, so, hey, keep it coming with Lashley. I would hate if he got good. I want Lashley to get worse.
This is a good zone for Lashley to make no sense and be almost unwatchable.
When he shows up, I'm legitimately excited for how south it can go.
Yeah, he could really tank any segment.
Because think about it, it's so rare to see a guy so high up the card that I want him to tank it because I would just be. It's like I don't care. I don't care if he does well at all. Not invested.
Elias's segment is so good.
Yeah,
it is so funny and so over, and it's working so well. And then they just throw a little Lashley in there, and it just makes no fucking sense anymore.
He ruins it. He sabotages the segment.
He's a charisma suck. He's
Elias
a black hole of charisma.
You guys remember last week? And he didn't remember the words to Rock and Robin.
Elias is so good. Fact that he could play off this guy is so amazing.
Can I just defend Lashley for a second?
You can try.
He gave us the sisters, the weirdest segment,
the weirdest promo
wrestling
of all of 2018.
Yeah, and not bad. Like, we know Rousey was kind of failing on the mic. Like, that was just bad. It wasn't fun, bad or anything.
Right.
It wasn't really laughable. It was just like awkward and like we want her to do well. This is like, what did you want, a good Lashley segment? It's the best possible outcome. Lashley comes out. He talks about how much he loves. He's like, Kathy, I love you.
Love you.
Remember that? That was so weird. He didn't know the words to Rock and Robin.
Man.
Come on.
What's he going to do next week?
I don't know.
What's the ceiling for Lashley?
I'm so excited. He's so bad.
He is so, so bad.
All right. B-Team got new music. Whatever. Don't care about that. All right. We hit everything.
That was it.
Oh, AJ, check out his beard. He finally fixed his beard. I love it. It was my big gripe with AJ. His beard was like, it was like 90s groomed, like his full strap.
Right.
And now he like has it up his cheek.
It
looks
in
a million times better.
Do you think that's evidence of the cow mole at WWE? Do you think the groomers, the Jonathan Van Ness at WWE, heard this podcast
Listen, the
and
groomers
said the beard's
are
not working?
The
groomers are true.
The groomers are all true. But I think I have this thought where I'm like, do they probably listen to this podcast? I don't know. I'm not narcissistic in that way where I'm like,
just give it
they listen. They're definitely stealing my shit. I know people like in the comedy and creative world, people always like, if fucking stole my thing, and I'm always a little skeptical of it.
Right.
But it's kind of crazy. Like, everything I want happens.
Right.
And that I say, it happens like 3 weeks later.
Well,
every
have you
time.
Have you read The Secret?
Oh, are you saying I'm manifesting
these
things?
Yeah, I think you what's it called?
It's manifestation, right?
Law of attraction. I think it's that. Or,
I do have a vision board for all these things.
Well,
is
there
that,
you go.
You think
that's
helping.
Yeah, is it Papa Shango's vision board? Is there any voodoo involved?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. If WWE is listening to the podcast and stealing your ideas, that's fine. But if they're listening, all that you ask is that they rate it 5 stars, subscribe, and tell at least one friend.
Absolutely. Word of mouth, the Ludacris album.
Word of mouth, 2001 Ludacris album.
Yeah, word of mouth. And also, I asked them to come check out my show August 18th, Saturday at midnight, after NXT, here in New York City at Caveat Theater. You can get your tickets at caveat.nyc. I know a bunch of Jabroniacs are coming. The Comedians of Wrestling Summer Slamtacular. The Intercontinental Champion will be in the house. Dolph Ziggler himself, a guy who's fucking killing it. seeing some primo Ziggler right
We're
now.
We're getting a new hairstyle out of Ziggler every week.
Oh, yeah.
A drastically different pony. Amazing work he's doing in the hair department.
Who knows what he's going to do, what Cobra Kai villain will look like next. You don't know. But, yeah, check out the show. Tell your friends about the show. If you have friends, you know, in New York City who are wrestling fans, tell them about the show. I would love to. Room's going to be full already, but I want to just pack the fucking place.
Yeah.
Let's have people. Let's set the energy precedent for SummerSlam.
I want it to be a fire hazard. I want so many people there that the fire department has to come and shut this down.
Excellent. Yeah.
I want first responders.
Those guys from Ghostbusters.
Oh, that dick villain guy?
Yeah, with the beard. I want those guys to come in and turn off our machines because we're going to have those plasma, whatever, ghost containment systems.
We're gonna have a ghost containment system.
Yeah. Anyway, cool. Hey, so check out that show. And remember, you can check out our Patreon, patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. We're going to be recording a bonus episode next week. It's going to be cool. We're going to have a cool bonus episode next week. I don't want to tease what it is in case it doesn't come together. But check that out. And you can get your cash-ins in. Right, 516-530-2429. Leave a voicemail. You can get on the show. Next week, we'll play them. Shebs, anything else you want to plug?
Follow me at Shibiro. It's Sierra Hotel, Echo Bravo, India, Romeo, Oscar. And listen to my radio show on Sirius XM Channel 99, Thursdays at 4 p.m. This week's guest, Dan Black.
Yeah.
And also Sean Donnelly, but mostly Dan Black. So check that out.
That's going to be dope. Okay. And you can check me out on Twitter at DBlackAttack. Everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Kisses.
Comedians of Wrestling. I listen on Thursday when I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.